This man needs medical attention.
Holmberg's morning sickness.
The old method of treatment for a person in this condition was to throw him in jail.
Friday morning used to mean something to have a Friday on your hands, and now it's just the dreaded Friday that leads to the Saturday with the family that leads to the Sunday with the family.
Come on, John. Stay positive.
It leads to the Monday with the family.
Think about all the fun you can have.
A Tuesday with the family. We're a family.
Get creative.
No. Yeah. Start a meth lab. That is a recession-proof business right there. Big time.
Been watching too much Breaking Bad.
Oh, I can't help it. We're a family. Skyler, listen. We've got nothing to do for the next 4 days. Junior, get the aluminum. We're going to make meth.
Develop a skill for the apocalypse.
Yeah, something. Good luck with that. This guy, Key always emails great stuff. He says, I have an actual idea why they're keeping the salons open, and this is assuming it isn't government incompetence. Some of the salons may be under investigation for human trafficking and need to continue operating normally so they can bust them because the investigation's been going on for over a year. Just a thought.
That.
Maybe I'm wrong, but our governor probably is just retarded, and I don't want to say that out loud because he didn't answer it either. It's a good point.
I think the other thing that came out of it, which was interesting, I guess it could be good news for some small businesses. Eric, I think you heard the same thing. As long as you keep your social distancing, you can go back to work.
Yeah, anything is – you can do anything
if
you
you're
want.
Not on the necessary.
Right.
Yeah, all non-essential businesses can stay open.
Right. Yeah.
Just stay away from
just
people.
Don't touch each other. Look in each other's butts.
Then everything is definitely the same, right?
Then why have a list?
Yeah.
Why even have a list?
Yeah. This guy says, by the way, John, great talk so far this morning. I'm a Navajo. Can't speak for all my kin, but I find that impression of Navajos you do to be effing hilarious. On that note, don't forget about the mighty Tomahawk cruise missiles. So then I get a thing. It says, here's an article that'll help you understand all the names. And it says, the reason Army helicopters are named after Native tribes will make you smile. But basically, it's just because here are the names of our helicopters. I didn't even know it went this deep. But the helicopters are called the Apache, the Black Hawk, the Kiowa, Lakota, Comanche. They're also known as the names of the Native American tribes. It is in accordance with an Army regulation, which is no longer part of it. But the Bureau of Indian Affairs keeps that list of names for the armies to use, and they allow them to use it because – you know, they basic white guilt, I would say, but they're saying it's because they're honoring the Native Americans that fought so bravely for the U.S. of A. in wars when they did fight with us.
Oh, and, when they did.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also,
when did they fight for us?
They fought for us in WW2. They did. This one said, in other words, the Army helicopters and fixed-wing aircraft bear names that reflect fierce and courageous warriors who have also fought well as part of the United States Army. We're kind of whitewashing that just a touch, I'd say. But we're remembering them and honoring them with the Army's most prominent systems.
So that's why we went Piestewa Peak. And
The Piestewa Peak was, if you lived here during that time, and it was early, it was like, they were looking real hard, early 2000s, to change the name of Squaw Peak. Because no one knew for years, a couple Indians kind of threw an elbow into Governor Napolitano at the time and said, you know that Squaw Peak can be translated into Whore Mountain? Like, what? Yeah, it's kind of a derogatory term towards women. Is it really? We didn't know that, and we've been calling it that for years. Yeah, we know. We've been shaking our heads at you guys for a long time. We thought we were honoring your whores. Nope. And so then that's when the governor at the time was screaming, we need a dead Indian fast to honor that mountain. And they got one, and they didn't look into it, and now it's Piestewa Peak. And they patted themselves on the back, but essentially they were breathing. Look, I know Whitey. They were breathing a sigh of relief and slapping high fives when they found out a Native American from Arizona died. Unfortunately, that's absolutely true. They couldn't wait to have someone be a martyr so they could get the stench of what they'd named that mountain off their backs. And there's still signs all over. I live by it. There's still signs of Squaw Peak cleaners. Squaw Peak. That's not everybody's changing their business, and there's signs that say
the
Squaw
Plaza.
Peak.
It's still
Squaw Peak Plaza, and that's up there. Yeah, they didn't change all that stuff because that was the business end. The state's end was like, we need to stop this. We just found out we're embarrassing ourselves, so get me a dead Indian. And they did, and it was horrible. It was a horrible thing to do.
I mean, I like the explanation there, I guess, of the why they haven't.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. Like, you know, so you miss with your tomahawk and you hit a school. We're honoring, you know, sure. a school of indigenous
hey, look,
people.
That's great. The tomahawk crushed a bunch of kids on the enemy side. I'm fine with that. I'm over all that stuff. If we go
I know,
to
it just,
them,
it's
I
just
no
funny
problem.
To think about, like, the missile that we're honoring look, the natives for.
How bad is that country's governor if they're still having school? We won't even go to school right now because of a virus.
Well, you know how it is. Yeah. They'll hide amongst
sure,
the
if
people.
Yeah, but they got to cancel school. If they're not canceling school, yeah. they deserve a couple tomahawks to blow through the fourth grade. Nope, school as usual, but they're shooting Indians at us.
Ah.
Ah. What are the odds you get hit by an Indian?
Pretty good. They were pretty lethal.
Oh, as it turns out, they're not Indians. They're just named after them. So, yeah, it's a little strange. It's a strange history we have of flexing our muscles on the backs of the people we stepped on to get it. But, hey, that's what winners do. That's what that's how conquering nations came over and took stuff. That's the way it used to work. Nothing about that. Some other guy emailed me and said, how do you think our grandparents would have handled this? And it would have been completely different. Not necessarily better, but completely different. Again, I always talk about my grandpa who had
can't
polio.
Can't handle the virus thing?
Yeah, but here's two things.
That's easy. You can just go look at the Spanish flu.
Well, yeah, but they didn't handle it as well, obviously. But here's the two things. My grandpa had polio. They had an iron lung or a job. Which one do you want? The thing that saves your life, or are we going to get money until you die? And that's essentially what his parents said. And they did it. Now, would they have trudged through this a little tougher than us as far as like, we're brave and we're going to face? Oh, absolutely. But were they dumber than us? And that's an absolute fact, too. Your grandparents and people and great-grandparents were much dumber than we are. The average 7th or 8th grader today might not have the decision-making skills your grandparents had because they're adults and they're fully functioning brains, but they're more educated. So with more education comes more ability to dodge things that, you know, to kind of get out of the way of stuff rather than just run through it. Our grandparents' mentality was there's danger, run through it, and we'll see who's left on the other end. Our mentality is, there's danger,
think our way
avoid
through
that, and let's try to go around it.
Well, it's all about learning from your mistakes. Like sure. Philadelphia had a huge parade and it had 200,000 people attend during the Spanish flu.
Sure.
Yeah, that didn't help.
But that's what I'm saying. Our grandparents were like, there's danger, I'll face it, and the weak will die. Now, here's what the difference between your grandparents and of the olden days and people today are. They didn't care about the weak at all. They had no time for the people dragging down the species. They were like,
there were so many choices, too, during
right.
the week.
Well, there were a lot of weeks. There were a lot of weeks out there. Look, you had the mentally weak. You had the slow. You had the out-of-shape weak. Look, if you were left behind, you were left behind because of you. And that's how they looked at it. Was that better? No. But they got through things. They just lost a lot of lives doing it.
I realize the softball here, but I've been going through census records for some of my biological dad's, you know,
right.
parents and grandparents. And if you had more than an eighth grade education listed on your census, you probably were the
master of the house. You were running something. And you had
everybody smart. Had seventh grade education yeah. or just was listed as a farmer.
You were as smart as you needed to be to run whatever was going on in your little world. My grandpa never left Mount Jewett, Pennsylvania. So he
There's
was
still schoolhouses.
Yeah, he was there like, okay.
How far did your granddad
sixth
go
grade,
to school?
Sixth grade. And with polio, and his dad said, get a job.
Wow.
Because this is it. And basically run the farm. And you're never going to need all the stuff they teach you. You're not going anywhere.
Did his dad go? Gone anywhere.
No. Basically, his dad drank himself and died. And I think my grandpa killed him. That's a different story. In a barn fire. But it was sketchy. Anyway.
Man, and you brush over my story.
Oh,
that's
no.
I've told that before.
Yeah. They killed him. Well, it's still alleged. There's, you know, I don't know if the statute of limitations ran out for me on that. I better be quiet.
Yeah.
I don't know if that trickles down through generations, but I'm pretty sure he killed his own dad because he used to beat his great-grandpa.
Fed him to the bobcats.
Yeah, could have made him tiger sashimi. But in the olden times, he was like, you're not going anywhere. You're going to live here the rest of your life. You need to know this farm. You need to know what I teach you, and that's it. School wasn't important, so you didn't really learn that stuff. And you faced danger differently. How would that generation have handled this? Totally differently. Would more people have died? Yup. But,
well, medicine was a little different.
Yeah, they didn't have germs or like their microscopes were pretty new and they weren't.
I just saw a documentary on this and then I was looking it up. It's some doctors were recommending to, if you get about the Spanish flu, stay warm, keep your feet dry and your bowels open.
That's right.
That's from a doctor.
And my grandma. Now, here's what you ask. What would our grandparents do? My grandma, if you sneezed, have you had a movement recently? Like what?
When's the last time you moved your bowels? I'm like, what are you talking about? I sneezed. You need to move your bowels.
I'm like, they were big on bowel movements. Like that was, if you
all clogged up.
Because that basically was where the poison sat.
Especially after Elvis, probably.
Oh, right. Well, that was. Well, that was just their argument.
Their they
were just basically, my grandparents were before that. Yeah, they were basically like, of course, he didn't move his bowels. That's why he's dead. My grandma was like a bowel movement machine. That's all she talked about if you said, oh, I am sleepy.
When's the last time you moved your bowels? I'm like, Grandma, I just said I was sleepy. I've been up for 5 minutes, and I just feel like I'm a little bit groggy. Move your bowels.
They were so afraid of poop living inside you too long. Because think about it. They didn't have the germ warfare until they got into their later years, and they realized, oh, it's everywhere that's causing all the sickness. So, yeah, they had to trudge forward. I do admire them because they didn't have emotion for the weak. They didn't drag along the weak. Now, that's a horrible thing to say today, but they didn't care for that. They institutionalized people at the drop of a hat. They got the slower folks out of the way. And when disease came along, it got the people that it was going to get because, damn it, that's just the way things
but
work.
But I think that because what had happened during the Spanish flu was different places reacted differently. Like right. St. Louis shut everything down.
Closed them up.
And they closed the different doctors. So doctors in your city, a lot of it depended on what the doctor
but again,
said in your city.
St. Louis was so advanced, people don't realize, being a river.
It was a mecca.
It was a river thoroughfare. That was a trade post. That was a monster city in its time. It never grew past that, but it was big then. And it was probably a bastion of education and knowledge and smarts.
Well, Philadelphia is pretty big.
And that's what I'm saying. In Philly.
And they did the wrong thing.
All the old towns.
The big problem with Philadelphia is it's filled with people from Philadelphia, and they're retarded. We've known that for years.
That's the explanation.
Yeah, St. Louis was the United States epicenter. That was where all the stuff went north, south, and everywhere else. And that was a big-time city. New York
Chicago,
was another one.
St. Louis.
But Philly had also seen all this stuff before. We get through these things. But they used to have that attitude of, trudge through it. And they didn't have the information. They couldn't share info with Philadelphia saying, hey, we had a parade and it killed everybody. You guys better not do it. They didn't know until everyone was already dead. Keep in mind, Boston in 1910 had a sap flood that killed people. Think of how slow it would be to have to run for Mrs. Butterworth.
And it killed a lot of people.
Killed a lot of people. It cooked them. And killed them. Now, the sap was going upwards of 28 to 30 miles an hour.
And I'm sure we learned from that. We don't keep sap the same way.
We don't keep sap in giant silos of boiling hot sap.
Well, that, yeah.
That are sketchy. That could explode.
Yeah. There is a giant reserve in Montreal of the
Sure. But you know what you find out the hard way?
Maple syrup reserve. Yeah.
Storage of sap is combustible. And you find that out the hard way. Who would have ever guessed? And Boston
it took
found
them
out the hard
die
way.
Right. For us to realize.
Because it had to smell amazing in Boston for like 3 days before the explosion. Because the thing was venting.
And a week
it
after.
It had to be venting. Man. I love that syrup factory, man. Nothing better than that. I know, but you notice it's really strong, like, pungent. I have noticed. But, what's the worst that can happen? Sap floods out? I'll outrun it. No, you won't. Tons of folks died. So that's a dumb generation to compare anything to. If anybody says, our grandparents would have, and I'm like, okay. I love my grandpa, too, but he was a dumb man by
today's standards.
But then
right now you have, like, Dr. Fauci yesterday goes, I'm not sure why there's like 13 states left that haven't done any stay-at-home. And they're all mostly in the Midwest and the South because it hasn't gone.
I don't know the answer to
that much yet.
But I can almost guarantee you that their governor is about a 75-year-old white man.
Yeah, probably.
That would be my guess. I don't know that.
And see, that's a spot where, the federal government could step in and go, listen, you need to do this. Let's do this for a month like everybody else and see where
They could do it. The governor is either super religious and wants to meet Jesus, so he's cool with the whole thing. Or he's an older white man who's like, no, you just walk through. If the weak die, they die. And I kind of
they could be hiding their numbers. Who knows? Or they're basing it upon numbers like our governor says. We look at it every day.
Yeah. Well, all the governors do. All the governors.
And it was a great question yesterday. They're like, how can you even trust these numbers when you're not testing people very much?
Well, you can't.
Yeah.
And that's why everybody's got to get off these statistics. Just, how many people are going into the hospital feeling like they've got it.
Although the death, you would think that, when people die, you can tell, all right, he died of getting the coronavirus. Like, you should be able to tell on the dead, unfortunately. But
I would
as far as who has it.
If they would approximate rather than stonewall. Because, you're seeing people in our building here that see these numbers. And some people, you know, and there's, by the way, it's not shaming. There's nothing wrong with that. Some people are watching this stuff and it's scaring the hell out of them. Because when you say things like, well, we've got this many dead and we've got this many people, and you're doing that, people take statistics as fact immediate, and they don't work around it.
If you go by the dead, I mean,
right, it's not huge.
I know it's sad, but I mean, what, we're in the 30s right now here?
Projections.
The projections
are scary.
Those are a little freaky.
And that's horrifying. And then also, what Rich and I talk about it all the time off there, is like, I wish they would just say, here's how many people we've tested. Here's how many people who've gotten it off of our test. Yeah, and then you're just like, okay, we've got more that have it.
Right.
We don't know that number because we can't test them all. But here's what we've got so far. And leave it a little ambiguous rather than here's the dead facts of it. If you don't listen to us, 2 million die. Yeah. If you do, 100,000 to 250,000 die. Questions? It's like, Jesus Christ. That doesn't
scare me.
Well,
don't you think they're trying to scare people into actually following the orders? I mean, that's what they're doing.
But there's two sides to that. Yes, they'll follow the orders, and also you'll get a bunch of sketchy, crazy
fear,
people.
Yeah.
And you'll make – because fear leads to sketchy behavior, and sketchy behavior is not something they want. You're supposed to calm them. FDR's fireside chats were like, don't let the pop – they don't know what's going on. You're the only one dropping info on them. Calm them down and make them feel all right. Don't lie to them, but calm them down. And, boy, we're not getting that at all. Ducey was terrible last night with that stuff. So it's just like it's everybody, you know, our numbers change every day because
his demeanor was okay as far as that went. It was just the answers to the questions were very.
Just didn't answer.
I didn't think his demeanor was very good.
You didn't like the demeanor?
Sitting forward, very combative.
He looked uncomfortable.
Defensive. I mean, his demeanor to me was like, why are you acting like you're under attack here? I got the vibe that he wasn't comfortable sitting in that
room. I saw it a little different. I did not like the way he was answering the questions.
Didn't answer questions with any confidence. It was prepped. And it was prepped poorly. He got a little snippy a couple times when the question came back. And he was like, hey, what are we going to keep talking about this? Like, whoa, you need to calm down a little bit.
You invited us in to talk about it.
You are the one who's trying to say, hey, let's soothe everybody. And you're coming across like you're under investigation. I didn't think he was very soothing. And, you know, you think about the people I've talked to in this building or other people that are worried, and they just need somebody who's like, look, everybody feels out of control. Mm-hmm. So you need to know that the guy that at least is supposedly
in control,
right, he's supposedly in control.
Why don't you be that soothing voice that
I have been. Actually, I get a lot of emails of people saying it's been nice having you talk to us. And I'm like, good, because I'm a voice of reason. I'm telling you, you're all going to die. There's no doubt about it. No, let's have some fun on the way.
The people in the building here that need
I have been. Actually, I had a nice long chat. Got a big thank you. Your good friend text last night. And
oh, wow. It was really, is that bad?
Oh, yeah, no, it's not good. There's a lot of people that it's just not good. They're just not doing well. And they need somebody to lean on.
Well, there's a lot of people in all sorts of, you know, companies that the route that it's going, it's unknown.
Yeah.
Like, they can't continue doing this. So no one likes to know that no one's got any answers right now and how long
will it last in
this company.
Right. When does it get better? That's the fear.
It is. That is the worst part of this whole thing, is not being in control. Yeah.
Well, I would actually disagree with that. The worst part of this thing is you mother thinking that every Joe Tiger meme is funny. It's not. Joe Exotic memes, I've been bitching about this for 2 weeks that the memes are out of control.
That's all we got, John.
Good God, people, edit your memes. If you are about to send a Joe Exotic meme, just know the person you're sending it to has gotten it 40 times already.
Yeah.
It's over.
Before you retweet or send or whatever. Like,
it's over.
If you've seen it, it's out there already. So you don't need to.
It is as new
sharing
and clever as a Mr. Mom joke. It's over. We're done with it. Move on.
I've seen Tiger Woods as Joe Exotic. I've seen Donald Trump as Joe Exotic.
I can't tell you how unentertained I am by a Joe Exotic tweet, meme, anything right now. It's the most hack can be. Internet, congratulations, broke the record on how you destroyed something enjoyable in an amount of time I've never seen before. If you're making Joe Exotic jokes, you're it's almost like 10 years have passed.
Oh my God,
it's over.
And I was telling you, I still have friends that will share the cat and the woman memes, and I'm like, this thing has been going on for a ridiculous amount of time.
Yeah,
stop. It's over.
We know about Baskin Robbins.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah.
About all of them.
That's it. That's it. And if you think you're funny in your little neighborhood chats or your whatevers and your folks that you're hanging and tweeting with, and you throw out, you're done. It's over. They're done. There's no more. At first, it was like, I mean, it became a gold rush to one topic.
Yeah, gold rush, exactly.
And it was just this, like, I think there's comedy to mine here. The mine is dry. It's over. You're pulling out fool's gold, and you're trying to throw it at us. We've seen it. A lot of it's fake.
Stop. If you scroll down in your news feed and you see multiple of the same meme, it's been beaten to death.
I don't have social media. I'm sick of the social media memes.
You just get them texted to you.
Oh,
right?
Do I ever? And all of them are the same. I know you don't have social media, but I knew you want to see this. I'm like, I've seen it. I don't want to be the dick that goes, I've seen it either. So I just ignore it like 6,000 times. But it's time we came up with a new thing. You got to stop. You got to stop. This guy says, he sent me things that I was telling my husband how sad it was that students in our neighborhood are having to go through this in their senior year. And he set me straight. 1964 to 1970, a lot of kids' senior year vacation was Vietnam.
Yeah.
At least the kids are home. Put it in a little perspective there and thank a vet. It's a good point.
Putting on their cap and gown in
strong
a foxhole.
Yeah. I was watching that last night, and there was a girl crying because she's the first in her family to graduate, and she really wanted the ceremony. I wanted the ceremony, and I wanted to wear the hat. You can't. And I just don't know that our generation is going through something no other generation has ever dealt with. And I'm like, okay. There were kids signing up for World War II when they were 15. So, yeah, your generation doesn't have it tough. This is an awkward, uncomfortable, and inconvenient moment. But what would you rather have? This and no graduation party or a draft? I think it's better. I think we have a real miscommunication between what's rough and what's inconvenient. But I know what's rough.
Well, the good news is hearing last night is the kids get to advance. I mean, they're going to be really behind, but they're going to go to the next grade.
Yeah,
but
even if you tarted out.
The good thing is everyone's going to be behind.
They got some catch up.
Yeah, the good news, like Toledo said, it's all relative. Everybody's behind two months.
So, every grade is behind.
So just get this generation just got a little dumber. But by the way, they don't need to be smart.
Not like Rhodes is going to be that much more ahead of everybody else at Stapley this year.
Right. Yeah.
But here's the thing, though. Your kids don't need education that much. they need to basically know basic math, language skills, and after that, they're going to the handbrain. They don't really. Nobody really. Our generation's the same. Nobody knows a whole lot, but we act like we do because we got all the information of recorded history times 8 in our phone. We know plenty, so don't worry about your kids missing out on the last couple weeks of school. They're fine. They weren't going to learn anything in the last 2 months anyway. We'll move them on to the next level. Even the dummies, even the F kids who weren't supposed to keep going from fourth to fifth grade, the dummies that might fail a grade, they're going to move on no matter what and just be the dummies next year. It'll start over. You'll still be dumb. Your kid's still dumb. If your kid was dumb now, this 2 months off didn't change anything. He's dumb next year too. He's not going to come out of it smart. You got a dumb one. Loads of you have dumb ones, too.
Now, that's a pretty good fact bomb there. If he was dumb yesterday, he's going to be dumb tomorrow. Yeah, he'll be dumb next week.
Yeah, nothing in these next 2 months was going to make your kid go, the light! There it is! It went off! Finally, I'm not an idiot! There's no scarecrow moment where he gets his brain.
You don't think he can improve, John?
Not in 2 months. He's dumb now. He's going to be dumb next year. And then just get
one nugget a day.
Yeah. It's alcoholism. You're dumb today. You're dumb tomorrow. You'll figure it out. You'll just be a little – hopefully, you're striving to be less dumb every day. But if your kid was dumb – these next 2 months weren't going to change them. You're not getting the scarecrow's brain in one swoop and all of a sudden, E equals MC squared. It's not happening. You have a dumb kid. Loads of you have dumb kids, and most of you will never have a smart kid. It's never going to recover from it. Some kids get better, but it's true. You know that, Eric. Come on. You can get smarter as you get older, but when you're a dumb kid.
You think the kid that can throw 100 miles an hour is just either you got it or you don't?
Yeah, I really do.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's true.
I don't know, man.
No, because it's not education that made Neil deGrasse Tyson smart. He was smart going in.
My stepson didn't graduate high school on time, but he went back to college now, and he's getting straight A's.
Like I said, every day he can get a little better, but he's still never going to be like a really smart guy. He's just going to be,
straight A's.
Oh, and by the way, dumb people can get straight A's. The second I know you're dumb is when you tell me your grades. If that's what you got to prove.
I'm just saying,
smart,
no, now he's applying himself.
Yeah, no, that's application. That's good. But he's never going to be like that smart, super smart guy. I'm not a super smart guy. You just have it or you don't. I get a certain level of intelligence. But there's Neil deGrasse Tyson was smart when he was a kid. Like, man, this kid's smart. You see it when like a 3-year-old's telling you stories. You're like, yeah. Man, oh, man, this kid's smart. He's got it. And then other kids, most people are kind of dumb.
In the middle.
Right, yeah. You're middle kids. And then you got the real dumb
middle
ones.
Middle to dumb.
And the real dumb ones are if you got a real dumb one, don't even try anymore. Just, you know. I have a friend who has a kid, and he told me his kid's like 30. And he goes, he's never been bright. He's really hit the max on his job. I'm like, how old is he now? And I'm expecting the answer to be like 11.
If he could work 30. The midnight shift at a Circle K, that might be right. His
it's about
the top
it.
Of his level. There.
If he ever hits manager of convenience store, it will be they'll have a party at the house. They know. And everybody kind of knows. My kid's not really – he's not going to advance super smart style. I've sat with really smart people, like what really smart is that – you just sit back and you go, he just was, this is something you're born with. You don't go to school for this. They don't teach you any of what he knows. You have to go get it on your own.
What was it, the physicist or engineer you said?
Quantum physicist.
Quantum physicist.
And engineer.
And he what, got it. Because he was bored? He needed
yeah.
two?
Well, he did them at the same time.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
He,
that guy
he
had it
sought it
in.
Out. He knowledge was all he had in his brain. I mean, there's smart people, and then there's like, oh, that's what smart looks like.
Well,
most of us.
The bad thing would be is if you're not smart and you have a poor work ethic.
Oh,
that's not a good combo.
That's a super dumb guy.
Yeah,
yeah. That's yeah. And there's loads of those.
Even
yeah.
if you're lacking on the smart to right. if you work hard,
right.
you could graduate college.
That's what that's called, blue collar.
Right.
You're not necessarily the quickest guy there, but you got work ethic and ambition, and like, you know, goddamn it, he'll walk. Through
you'll
the wall
figure it out.
You'll, yeah, yeah, you'll work around some stuff.
There's a ton of A work for C students.
Yeah, that's so. Exactly right. It's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of dumb kids out there. But these last 2 months, what about the education process? Shut up. Your kid was – you're fine. It's 35, 40 days of work. He's not getting anything out of that. That was going to change his life anyway. He'll be dumb starting next year, and hopefully he'll advance past that. But if you've got a dumb kid, you're going to keep a dumb kid forever. And most likely you're dumb too. Most dumb people have dumb kids. That's just the trickle-down theory
so
of
real.
Dumb. Yeah, it's so true. One of the two parents has to be a little bit smart. If you got two dumb parents, you're going to have a dumb kid. That's just
I don't know, man. That's a fact. Don't the gifted kids sometimes come out of nowhere?
No.
Like,
no.
No?
We hear about
Talk
them.
Talk to your wife. Yeah. She was a teacher.
Come on. Yeah.
She you know. Knows.
Like, one out of every let's see, how many people are in this? I think 340 million. There's like, you'll hear that story on the CBS Morning News. He came from nothing, and now look at him. Because it's rare, like so rare, it's a news story. If it was like pretty common, they'd be like, ah, it's, of course smart kids come popping out of dumb families. And a lot of the times, the smart kid, they all they talk about is how poor they were. They don't talk about how dumb their parents were. That would be a horribly mean story. Man, are this kid's parents dumb, too. Look at how dumb his parents are, and he came out. No, they're usually like they were poor, and he
and
came out
And most of those
shining.
Families, yeah. at least in the movies, the you know someone discovers them and
right.
gets them a scholarship and yeah. gets them the education.
Usually a rich white family, and they take them out of this nightmare of dumb people.
Hold yeah. on, John. What do you mean people were stupid back then? Their science makes more sense with bloodletting and lobotomies and all right, never mind.
They tried.
Hey, trial and error.
Look,
right?
And here's the thing. They also took the weak and did those studies on them.
That's right.
And there's a dumb one. Come here, stupid. You're not going anywhere. We're going to bloodlet you. What's that? That's what you were praying for as a doctor, was your patient said, what's that? Oh, oh boy. We're going to find out some stuff today. Yeah. You're smart. You're smart. You're dumb. You're dumb. Most of us are right in the center. It's ambition. That's all it is. But what I do know is tough today. Compare like you can't sit and say you're having the worst graduation time than seniors. That kid on TV saying this is the worst, like generationally, the worst time for a high school senior. And I'm like, oh, for Christ's sake, read a book. But I do know that the hardest thing going on right now is the Joe Exotic memes. I'm going to go back to that. I think that is the hardest thing we're dealing with at this time. I would rather get the virus than 10 more memes. I think I'd rather just deal with it in a hospital and shut off from society if I get 10 more memes. People are doing like cartoon drawings of Joe Exotic's penis with Prince Albert in it.
So and do you say anything when – because you're not on social media, so people are texting these memes to you.
I just ignore it.
Why don't you tell them?
I am. I'm telling them right now. It's just boring.
Well, if they're not listening, you text back and go, stop it.
Then they're dumb people. They're dumb. There's nothing to it.
They're dumb?
I don't want to lose them as friends, but I think a lot of people just miss the boat on – recognizing something, and it has to be said. It's we've beaten.
Well, I sent you one yesterday.
Yeah, that was you're confusing all memes.
Okay.
No, I'm not saying
it was only because it was
bad.
The inside yeah. joke.
It was a but great I, joke.
Now you've got me skittish about sending you stuff because I'm like, well, but that's a good thing.
Right.
It's probably smart.
I want you to edit your memes. So if that's what if that's what this has resulted in, if you're sitting there going, this is maybe not good enough to send to John, then my job here is done.
But it had the inside joke.
That was a great meme. That was a great joke. And yeah, there's still some really good ones. Look, again, baby bathwater. Just because I don't like a few, don't throw all memes out. But the Joe Exotic ones are done. Now, if you've personalized one like yesterday, that's not a meme about Joe Exotic, is it? It's not. But I can't tolerate it anymore. And I know everybody's the same way, and nobody's like said anything. If I see one more of those things, I'm like, all right, you better be pretty damn creative with it. But the only thing you can send over and over and over again is naked pictures of women. That will never age. The women will, but that's why it's so great, is there's usually a generation behind them willing to get naked.
What
too.
About the black guy? I mean, he's kind of been around
that's, he's
a long
become
time.
His own joke. Now, that's one of those great things that I don't know who that is, which is the mystery of where he came from. Is
he's a badass.
Surprising. It did kind of lose its luster, but putting him in scenarios – sometimes going to
he's mainstream now.
He's one of those things that's funny, then not funny, and then funny again. Joe Exotic's just been beaten into the ground.
They've been able to diversify, to expand it pretty good
yeah.
in different scenarios. Yeah.
Well, look, if I have to explain it to you, you shouldn't be sending memes to people. If you have to have as guidelines, like, well, what about that? All right, you should not send memes anymore if you need clarification on what's funny and what's not. Just stop it.
Go play Monopoly with your wife.
Yeah, exactly. Go lose, and I will beat anyone's wife at Monopoly in this world.
You can't play with them, John.
I will
beat social distance.
I will beat every woman virtual online.
You'll take them on your
but
challenge?
You have to play by my rules, which is for every dollar I get, you get 79 cents to start the game.
That's going to be, man, being the banker's really going to suck playing with you. Yeah.
Oh, no.
So you're bringing out the change?
I'll be the banker. What do you mean? You let someone else be the banker?
No,
I'll be
never.
The banker too.
You're always the banker.
Always the banker because, A, you can embezzle. And, B, 79 cents to the dollar just to automatically infuriate your opponent. Just bring that up. We talked about with Pat McAfee. He's like, my wife beats me at Monopoly. I'm like, I got a way to do it. Open every game with, how come you get a dollar for every dollar I get? You should get 79 cents. That's the way the real business world works. They're distracted immediately and infuriated. They will not, and then they're going to make bad decisions and overspend, and you'll beat them every time.
They're going to focus on the railroads too much.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they'll get utilities and ridiculous.
Spend all their money on the crappy property.
The first nine things they land on, they will buy just to show you they've got the money. And I'm like, this is why you can't be trusted with more than 80 cents to my dollar, because you get emotional about it. I will beat every woman in the world at Monopoly, all of them. With my theory of, all right, let's do it. I want to play Megan Rapinoe in Monopoly so badly because I know emotionally she has money issues. It would drive her bananas if I'm like, okay, let's see. I'm charging $330 for rent on Boardwalk. That's going to be about $420 for you. Why? You're a woman. And I want it to be equal. Men have been overpaying for years, so we're going to balance that out.
You're such an asshole. Here's your $400.
It's working. That's all I can tell you.
You're accepting it.
I won't lose a Monopoly at that game because I'll be a chauvinist. Monopoly is all about illegal business activities. That's what a monopoly is.
Right.
You're playing a game to break the law. In the end,
that's
you
your
are
goal.
The largest lawbreaker there. Why not steal from the bank and then treat
You're
people?
You're cheating. Yeah,
underpay other people. Yes, I'm cheating. That's the game.
Negotiating deals.
It's called Monopoly. I'm cheating the entire system in order to own all of it and break you. The goal of the game is to make you so poor you can't survive. You're worried about me cheating?
Least of your worries.
Fight for yourself and your family. Yeah, Monopoly's had a huge comeback. Big time. I can make someone cry playing Monopoly, and I enjoy that. Board games are fun, though. I haven't gotten into it. Like, Scrabble's getting a big comeback. Scrabble's great. That's a good one. They got the iPad Scrabble now where you can shoot your game onto somebody else's iPad. Words with Friends was something people did a while ago. That's kind of making a comeback. Yep. And people are trying to find things to do. You got a whole weekend ahead of you. And keep in mind, this is the first weekend in April. At the very least, you got four more of these to look forward to. You're not going outside for a while. And if you are, it's in the confines of your backyard.
You can play these board games to death.
And if you're in an apartment, it's on that little tiny weird balcony that used to just be a bike and a place to keep your tent.
Like that dude that did the marathon on his balcony?
Yeah. That was a nice balcony, though.
It was nicer. Yeah, it was wider.
I've seen some really rough ones. That would be tough. Just wander around your complex and act like you walk it. And that's the great part about going to shelters and getting a dog right now. A dog makes it so you don't look crazy just walking around. You're walking your dog. Foster, adopt, do something. Have a friend in your house right now. That's what you need. What do you got on the big board of musical treats over there, Eric?
All right, wake up song brought to you by ELOteam.com. Buying or selling a house, we could definitely help you out with that. Get in touch with us. We are practicing social distancing, but we can get it done for you. ELOteam.com, we got
practicing. Are you perfecting
it? Perfecting it.
Yeah. That's what I'd rather hear.
Yeah, we're perfecting it.
That's what I'd rather hear.
We've mastered social distancing. We have had zero slip-ups in 5 days.
Like a picture of your wife with that pole handing the keys, that would be perfecting it.
That's what, I said.
I would put that out.
That's what we had out there.
I watched two guys shake hands yesterday and then act like they just poisoned each other. They'd forgotten.
Oh, no.
It was in front of Lucy's on 16th Street in Bethany Home, and a guy's like, rah, rah. You can see him. I'm at the stoplight. Rah, 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 rah. Business. Rah, 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 rah. And then all of a sudden, one guy puts his hand on the other guy goes, wham. And when their hands touched, their hands went back up in the air like they just committed NBA fouls. They
flopped.
We touched. We're going to die. Get the lights off.
Has anyone seen us?
Hilarious. Yeah. So that's the future. Handshakes are going to be a thing of the past. Thank God.
Yeah, it was getting tough with the black dudes.
Oh, it was horrible. And I'm hoping that they understand more than anybody that the handshakes are over, gang. I like acting like I'm going to fist bump somebody. Hey, man, good to see you. And they go, don't touch me. Just screaming at him. I've had two people I've gotten to do that to in the last month.
John, be thankful your Monopoly partner isn't pregnant because I use your strategy. But against a pregnant woman, you end up with the board flying throughout your house.
And then you can
embed it in the drywall.
And this is why we don't play Monopoly with women. You got to compound it. It's a game about being a tycoon. You have to be a horrible human being to win Monopoly. When's the last guy you're like, I love that dude that owns all of it? It's never happened. Nobody's like, he's so fun. The dude that owns all of it is just laid back. And no, in order to win Monopoly, you are an evil tycoon. A pregnant woman stands no chance in an attempt to monopolize the world. She's too emotional. And to cut the emotions from Monopoly. Everyone should be crying except the winner because you've lost everything. Sorry, go ahead.
Everything's mortgaged.
Yeah, well, mortgage. You've lost your mortgage. We just seized your property. Your family is on the streets. And you want me to be fair?
That's the best part of the game when you start buying their stuff.
Oh, when you just look them in the eyes and they realize, man, this guy's killing me. Yes, the goal is to make you suicidal, at least in this virtual reality.
You will be homeless on the street.
You won't even be able to afford Baltic Avenue when I'm done with you. That's $60. You owned a whole street. I now have made it so you can't even walk on it because of the hotel charges just for being in it.
Look at me. I'm Donald Trump. I have hotels everywhere.
Donald Trump isn't this vicious. What they ask, what is asked of you in Monopoly is to be the worst human being alive. And people are like, you've got to play fair. And you just reach over at one point, Monopoly, just reach over and take $500 out of the bank. Put it on your pile. What are you doing? I just robbed the bank. What are you going to do about it?
You're cheating.
It's Monopoly.
And?
In order to get to the top, you must.
If you're not going to play by the rules.
I need to be a railroad tycoon. Yeah. I need to be this. What are you not getting?
All of it. I love the concept of Monopoly. It's so mean.
We've got Metallica up here, Sad But True. A Day to Remember, Resentment. Gray Days, Sickness. Iron Maiden, Run to the Hills, Seven Dust Waffle for all the syrup.
Waffle. Mmm. Well, let's do it. In honor of the, I think it happened in April too. In honor of the 1910, what
was
I like
in
to call,
April?
I think so. What I like to call the sappening. It might have been earlier in the year. It might have been colder. I call it the sappening because I think it's hilarious. But the big syrup flood of Boston 1910. We'll do a waffle.
Hot by hot 7 syrup.
Smoking hot, delicious syrup that drown people.
We lost Brady.
Brady would have been in it.
Brady
would have been a first responder before there were first responders. He'd have run towards the danger in the sappening.
I hear the sap factory blew up. Let's go.
Brady, where are you going?
To the sap river.
What's with the 55-gallon drums?
Collection.
Gotta clean up all the delicious sap that's killed. So get that body out of there. Oh, my God. This is amazing.
Yeah, Brady would have been in the heart of the sapping. Guaranteed you'd have been down in that mix.
No chance of drowning in that.
No. You'd have eaten your way right out of it.
I'm okay.
Of course you're okay. Look at him swimming like Michael Phelps in that thing. I can swim in syrup. Yeah, the sapping. What a great thing that was. Anyway, do you have waffle ready to go?
Yes.
All right, good. Might have to get this one for cussies. Depends on your edit. And Seven Dust, another good one to do things with. They are going to shut down some of these trails, too, if we're not careful. That's something else for the weekend.
Sure. Well, sound like we're shutting down anything.
I don't know if our governor's going to do it, but the cities are going to start thinking about it because they showed a picture of Sedona 2 days in a row. It's Times Square.
I saw one at Slide Rock.
Yeah.
Same thing.
They are not we're not self-policing.
No.
And it is literally Times Square. Mesquite Trail, which is kind of a hidden one up by Enchantment Resort. They had a picture of that. I'm like, I've never seen more people in my life in Sedona, let alone there. And there's no restaurants.
We're getting away.
Yeah. Well, they're piling in to places and not really caring that the other people are around. So I would guess that if we don't knock it off, that let's let this weekend be our lesson and just kind of like keep the trails, distance out. You know, if you see a bunch of people, maybe wait. Do a night hike. Get a flashlight. They're fun.
You just send people out into the woods.
No, at night. No, it's not the woods. It's Camelback Mountain.
Yeah.
What woods are? What are you talking about?
Those are very woodsy. Look at them.
Look at that. The bears and all the scary Unabomber types in their cabins. It's Camelback Mountain. The only cabins on there are like $4 million.
I'm just not sure that's the best advice.
It's great advice.
Toledo's
trail.
Giant head is still in Montana.
Yeah, I know. Whoa, you leave the house and hit them mountains, you're going to end up in grizzly territory. It's Squaw Peak. My friend lives on it. There are no trees, actually. It's treeless. It's a treeless environment. I don't count mesquites. Those are bushes. All right, whatever, Toledo. You stay off of it. I'm just saying, night hikes are great. Squaw Peak is loaded at night. I see it. It looks like traffic. The lights are going from the bottom to the top. You're like, good Lord. Please, people, just gap it out just a little bit. I can tell you're too close with your mountains. The faster you do it, the faster this is over.
Big, red, and badass.
It's the natural way radio should be.
98.